This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Joe Namath has joined us here on Sports Byline. We're talking about his book. Please check it out. It's called Namath, and we're going to make it a selection of the month on our Sports Byline USA Book Corner. How would you characterize your time at the University of Alabama and with Coach Bear Bryant?
Well, you know, looking at it now, Ron, as opposed to living it at the time, there's a major difference. That's called life's experiences. You know, at the time, I didn't realize that having the rules that he enforced were really all that important. But they turned out to be very important. I mean, when I look at what happens around the country today and through the years with young people, his way of discipline and having us together, having the kind of curfews. We had curfews during the regular season, during the off season as well. The change that's taken place as far as that kind of discipline togetherness, the NCAA obviously changed, you see, where they only allow coaches 20 hours a week now with their players. And that's for with good intention, but I don't think that's good because, boy, if I didn't have Coach Bryant and our staff and those rules to follow back then, there is no way I would have been disciplined enough, healthy enough, would have had, no way you can do that. You had to have a good attitude, first of all, to be around Coach Bryant. When I got there, there were 44 freshmen, and 11 of us were able to stay. A lot of guys leave for a variety of reasons. That freshman year is the toughest year. Well, at Alabama under Coach Bryant, it was real tough out on those practice fields because he demanded a lot on the practice field. But he was always on your side. He just, as long as you gave every ounce you could give, that was fine.
He called you the greatest athlete I have ever coached, and you led the University of Alabama Crimson Tide to a national championship in 64, but that was the year after you were suspended for two games. I'm assuming that you broke some significant rules to get yourself suspended for that, including the Sugar Bowl. What happened there?
Well, I've explained that well in the book, Ron. How about that?
That's why I'm asking.
I'm telling you, I broke one of Coach's rules. I broke one of our rules, and he disciplined me. I do explain in detail what it was and what transpired during that time. It was tough. It was awful tough. But it was a good lesson, and I believe, I know it made us even closer.
As you're leaving Alabama, you have the choice between the established NFL and the AFL. Tell me a little bit about the battle for Joe Namath to get you to sign.
Well, first of all, Coach Bryant helped me with some advice. He didn't talk to me about money except one time after we'd played Auburn. Steve Sloan and I, our other quarterback, and Steve, of course, has gone on to be a heck of a coach and athletic director. But Steve and I are sitting there, and I'm helping him with a sock because he'd hurt his knee and he couldn't put his sock on. And Coach Bryant Stanner, he said, "Joe, you know these guys are going to come talking to you about money, these pros." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You have any idea what you're going to ask for?" I said, "Well, sir, Don Truel signed for $100,000 last year. I was thinking something like that." Coach Bryant was quiet for a couple of beats, Ron, and he said, "You go ahead and ask him for $200,000. That's a better place to start." I said, "Yes, sir." Now, that's the only time he talked to me about money. Now, whenever we started negotiations, just before we started negotiations, I was sitting with Coach Bryant in his office, and he impressed upon me what he thought was very important, and that was getting to know the people I was going to work with and for. And when I had met, of course, Coach Eubank and knew some of his background coaching the Colts and Johnny Unitas, Chuck Knox was also on the staff there, a great coach from Western Pennsylvania who went on to lead the Rams in Seattle for several years and Buffalo as well. It wasn't tough for me to pick the Jets. Also, Mr. Werblin and Mr. Hess, the owner ownership was I just they made me feel awful good. Even after I decided I'd play with the Jets, I was asked if I would play for the Giants in New York. The Cardinals had still had that option, the NFL did, and it was not a matter of New York City. It was a matter of Weeb Eubank, Leon Hess, Sonny Werblin, and Chuck Knox.
You have talked about Weeb Eubank, a very interesting combination, Joe Namath and Weeb Eubank. He had the very short hair. You had the very long hair. And I think your quote to me one time when I asked you about it, he wanted you to get your hair cut, and you said you couldn't do that because your daddy would only let you go
they
to
they wouldn't. They didn't have a union shop in Peekskill. I said, you got to understand, Coach, my dad is big-time union. I checked. There's not a union shop around here.
Well, but how did you two get along, and how where did the marriage work there between the two of you?
Coach Eubank?
Yes.
Oh, from day one. From day one. There's no doubt about it from day one. Coach Eubank had input given to him through Coach Bryant and through Chuck Knox, so he had an idea of the kind of guy I was. And, you know, whenever you work closely every day throughout the course of a season and you have a lot of disagreements or emotional levels that you go through, it's easy, very easy for a player and his coach, position coach, head coach, or whatever, to have some tough feelings. Weeb and I went through that, sure, but it didn't last long, and I'll tell you what, if I didn't respect Weeb Eubank as a coach, I learned to respect, and I always did, I learned to because he got better and better with every I worked for.
That third Super Bowl, of course, is the one that brought parity to the AFL with the established National Football League. And when you think back about the success that you had, the statement that you made about guaranteeing victory and everything, how did your life change after the Jets won that game?
Well, there were certainly far more opportunities and things to do than there were before, off the field I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the football end of it, I felt as good to this day. I mean, I just emotionally, it was a physical high, emotional high that I've never felt. You know, when your family's born, your child or something, you know, you have special feelings. In athletics, man, nothing has ever come close to winning a championship. And whenever that final second is gone because you just don't believe it. I mean, you believe it, but you want it to be real. You want that final second of the game to be over. Then you have accomplished, at least I did, a dream come true. You know, that was the goal, to win a championship in the big leagues. Little leaguers want to win championships, knee-high guys, high school guys, college guys, and then the big league guys really want to win a championship too.
It certainly did bring you a lot of opportunities off the field, as you said, and I've always wanted to ask you this. This is a question we've not talked about before, but what led to the pantyhose commercial?
My legs.
But, I mean,
Ron,
were you comfortable with that? Because that was not at a time that you...
Was I comfortable in them or out of them or wearing them? What?
Well, I mean, doing something like that, because that was something that was, you know, just not done at that time, especially by athletes.
Yeah, no, I was very comfortable with it because my mind appreciated the sense of humor with it, and I first of all loved the quality of the product. It was a fine company that started things, and then when the guy showed us the storyboard about it, we got a chuckle out of it. And our secretary is sitting there, and she's not really laughing or whatever. She said, what do you think? She said, oh, I think it's fine. She said, but my dad would hate it. What do you mean your dad would hate it? Well, you know, back there in Iowa or Indiana, Mid-America, your football players in pantyhose, that just doesn't get it. Well, you know what? Damn if we didn't think about it for a few days after that, worrying about how people would think about it, and I finally said, wait a minute. This isn't right. You know, I mean, and we did it. When I saw myself in every commercial I ever did, Ron, I wasn't pleased. you know, I mean, I was very self-critical. Not everyone, but when I saw myself in the pantyhose, I didn't see it again for about 25 years.
Let me switch gears. I can understand why. Let me switch gears on you and talk about the other side that you talk very candidly about in this book called Namath. You say, during my rookie season in 65, I picked up a safety blitz with my left buttocks, and after the game, every time I sat down, it hurt so bad that I went to our number one painkiller, alcohol. And you later say, my ex-wife challenged me, told me that I had a problem. I made a promise that if I didn't stop drinking, I would check myself into a place and get help. The thought of checking into a dependency clinic terrified me. Getting help terrified me. I didn't believe I needed it. It would be both embarrassing and humiliating to admit that I couldn't stop drinking, so I just quit. When you reflect back on it, how hard was it for Joe Namath?
It was very hard because I did convince myself that the alternative would be even worse. And I really refused to think that I couldn't stop drinking. And I subsidized what I thought was one of the things that we get out of alcohol a great deal, and that's sugar. So whenever I'd get a craving, I'd just go ahead and I started out with fruit and candy and ice cream, and to this day I'll eat fruit, candy, and ice cream. But I was able to stop. It's what you call a dry drunk. If you don't really have the education of alcoholism, odds are, and even when you have the education and you are an alcoholic and you're sober for a while, it's still day to day, Ron. You know, you still have to appreciate every day and have to throw off a suggestion by Slick whispering in your ear, you know, how would this sound? How would that sound? I've proven to myself that it's not healthy at all for me, and I'm not stupid. I may be dumb, and I have been many times, but I'm convinced that it's a disease that I have and that millions and millions of people have, that fortunately for us, fortunately, there's a cure for that dilemma or that problem, and that's abstinence. You know, it's abstinence.
What was the most fearful thing about going through all of this for you when you look back now?
Admitting, I believe, that I didn't have a handle on my life. Admitting to myself that I couldn't do something that I believed I could do.
Is there a part of the male, I guess, psyche and also the athlete psyche that says, I'm bulletproof, I can deal with anything?
Boy, no. I mean, you got to be stupid to think of that because guns and things, you know, bullets don't... your attitude's not going to come into play against those kind of things. No, but there is that risk kind of crave or being on the edge. There's an adrenaline from being on the edge. And whenever alcohol's involved, I believe that edge turns into, for the most part, an ugly one. You know, it's something that too many people have to deal with and not enough of us are dealing with it. I mean, I know I am, and there are millions of people that are. We've learned, but there are still millions out there, Ron, that if they think to themselves, yeah, do I have a problem? You know, I think they should find out, you know, because most of us are addicted to some things, and alcohol leads to a lot of bad thing.
In about 30 seconds, when you reflect back on your fine career, what means the most to Joe Namath?
What means the most? Oversimplifying things is we won a championship, you know, on each level. The most important thing to me aside from that is what my coaches and teammates felt about me, because they're the only ones that really knew.
So it comes down to respect then in the end.
Yeah, you could say that. That's what players, I believe all of us play for, that kind of pure respect, yeah.
Joe, congratulations on the book. It's nice to connect with you once again, and let's stay in touch.
Okay, Ron. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Joe Namath, the Hall of Fame quarterback, and please read this book. I think it'll give you wonderful insights not only into the player but also the man and where he came from. It's called Namath. We'll take a break, continue with more of you and Sports Byline.